Breakdown Morning Show. I'm Dr. Bernie Wilkinson.
I'm Dr. Richard Marshall.
Happy Monday. I almost said Friday.
You're wishful thinking. You need another weekend to catch up.
I did. I had a very busy weekend. I was either at a youth soccer game or a Orlando City soccer game. They did. It was our last home game of the season. So it's the last match that they're going to play in the Citrus Bowl. We're going to have
our own old stadium.
Yeah, we're going to have our own soccer-specific stadium for next season, so it's exciting. But that fits right in with what we were going to talk about this morning, which is concussions in youth sports, just a little bit.
Right.
Yeah. So I was at a match, a U10. So
what it
was 8 and 9 year olds playing soccer
U10
on...
U10.
Right.
8 and 9.
Right. Under 10 years old. So they're 8 and 9 year olds, okay. And they were playing, of course, soccer. Mm-hmm. And I was noticing some rules that the referee was enforcing, and I was thinking, that's interesting, because they're now implementing some things to prevent or at least reduce the likelihood of concussions in youth sports. So goalies aren't allowed to punt the ball, or at least in the league that I was watching, goalies aren't allowed to punt the ball because they don't want the ball up in the air leading to the kids, the ball coming down on the kids. Mm-hmm. And kids aren't, I knew this one, but kids that age aren't allowed to head the ball at all.
And, so if you play under 10, you're not allowed to hit.
Right, and I think it's actually under 12 or 12 and under period, you're not allowed to head the ball. Or it's, not that they call it a, not that you get in trouble, it's just that they stop it and it's a free kick and they tell you not to do that again.
That's interesting, because there was an article that popped up this morning in the news about, and the title of it is What 1 Year of Football Does to a Child's Brain.
Right.
So it is an issue that parents need to be aware of. All the data are not in. We really don't know. And again, if you look at professional football players, why do some get why do some suffer subsequent brain damage where other players playing the same game, doing the same playing the same position, don't have those same effects?
Right.
So there's some individual variants that we really don't understand yet.
Yeah, and we see this in a lot of different areas, because I think that this causes some confusion for people, and I think it warrants some confusion. But but we do see this in other areas. Post-traumatic stress disorder, for example, we know that individuals who have a history of traumatic experiences are at increased risk for experiencing a traumatic or PTSD symptoms following a subsequent traumatic event.
Right.
So we do screeners now whenever someone is going to go into into the military, or if they're going to go overseas into a war zone or something. They will do screeners for some of these individuals to see, you know, what their potential risk is for PTSD.
Right.
So it's probably the same thing with post-concussive syndrome and the reactions to concussions.
Right, right. Because some get it and some don't.
Right.
So what soccer has done is to protect the young brain. I think what many of us don't understand, the brain is really a delicate, soupy mess.
Right.
You know, when it's the brain in your head, in what we call in vivo.
Right.
The brain that's in your in when you're alive, is really a wet stew kind of thing.
Yeah.
And you know,
it's like Jell-O.
Yeah. I always say it's like flan or something like
that's
that.
That's very fancy. I said Jell-O. You said
Jell-O.
Flan.
It's like Jell-O. So if you can imagine a bowl of Jell-O jiggling around inside this very hard sphere, which is the skull, and it slaps around in there, and that can damage the Jell-O.
What's incredible is on the inside surface of our skull, it's not exactly smooth.
No, especially in the front.
Yeah.
Well, with shaken baby syndrome, the tragedy with shaken baby syndrome is if a baby is being shaken forward and backward, the brain is moving back and forth in the skull, and the orbits of your eyes are bony, sharp, like stalactites, and the brain is smashing against that very sharp surface, those sharp surfaces.
Yeah, so you have the front, it's hitting the front, and then it's bouncing back and hitting the back, and so we have the coup and contra coup, and then you get shearing.
Which is what happens to boxers and football players. Is the brain moves, it moves, sort of shifts left and right as well. And,
yeah.
And so you tear up the subcortical structures, the underlying structures.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people like to think of the brain as this thing that you can hold and,
right.
you know, because that's what we see in
it's like a heart. You take somebody's heart out
yeah.
and say, if you did that to somebody's brain, it would ooze through your fingers.
Huh? So hopefully you're listening to this while you're eating breakfast.
While you're having
because, it would not be...
No, it is. But people really misunderstand. They think of the brain as this unitary structure like a liver or a heart or a lung. And it's not like that at all.
It's
unique in its structure. And
yeah.
it's a very, very, very delicate instrument. So these sports, whether it's boxing, soccer, football, any contact sports, you run the risk of brain injuries just because of the sheer impact. An automobile accident. Falling off a horse. I saw a girl years ago. She fell off a horse and hit her head, and she had... she suffered some brain damage because her brain smacked against the inside of her skull.
Yeah, so. And it's, as you said, any sudden movement, any sudden stop in movement, anything, sudden shift in directions, anything like that can cause some of these problems. But again, I think that it's important that we, though, don't get so anxious and paranoid and concerned about it that we begin to stop and withdraw our kids from some of these experiences, because these experiences are really important.
Right. These athletic experiences are important for kids. And in fact, most children, I would venture to guess, most children are not going to suffer brain damage, partly because even though the brain is very delicate in those developmental years, the speed and the force, you know, when you take a 250-pound NFL football player who can run as fast as they build up a lot of force, build up a lot of mass and energy. And so that creates a force that you're really not dealing with youth sports until you get to high school.
Right. And so, you know, I think it's important that we teach good skills, how to prepare yourself. You know, that's one of the things that they've talked about for a long time in soccer. And and again, I understand the preparation, because little ones aren't as confident with their body. They don't control their body as well, and so they may not be able to perform appropriate techniques. But one of the things that they've always talked about is that soccer, you know, especially when you're heading the ball, is actually less likely to cause concussions than some of the other things, like in football and boxing and things like that, because you're prepared for it. You know, you've strengthened your muscles and your neck and everything, so that you can you can anticipate the impact and prepare for it and respond to it.
And like everything else parents should do, consult with your pediatrician, look it up. There are guidelines for youth sports, concussion and youth sports. Talk to the coaches, talk to the other parents, and make sure your child is on a team where this sort of thing is a priority. You're not just out there killing your opponents, you know. So do your homework, inform yourself, and use it as an opportunity to teach your child. Once again, teach your children how to do this safely.
Right. And this comes at a perfect time, because as the fall is approaching, we're of course getting into lots of different sports, whether it's, you know, football season is pretty much over for most of the youth programs. But we have soccer kicking up and going. We'll have baseball before too long, and basketball before too long. So, you know, definitely make sure that you are aware of these things and you're thinking about these things as you're planning these activities for your kids. But don't let some of these, educate yourself appropriately, I guess is what we're trying to say, because you don't want to be so worried about it that you prohibit and withdraw some of these opportunities from your child.
Don't let the fear guide you. Inform yourself, and if after making an informed decision you say, this isn't for us, I'd rather play tennis or something. Speaking of tennis, my son got a concussion playing tennis. I mean, he hit a pole one time, one of the standards, and got a concussion playing tennis. So there's almost, you know, it's pretty difficult to avoid.
Right.
So inform yourself and make an informed decision.
Yeah. And that's
the
thing. Don't
let fear, don't let the emotions take over.
Right. Yeah. Educate, train, and just be prepared and respond appropriately if something does happen.
Right.
So, all right. Well, That's it. That's short and sweet for today.
Monday's message. Have a good week.
Yeah. Have a great week.
Get back on your plans.
Yes.
Food plans, exercise plans.
That's right. This it's going to be a great week temperature-wise here in Florida. So enjoy it. Get outside. Hatch some Pokemon eggs. It'll be It'll be good. I haven't mentioned that in a while, so I just felt like I had to say something about it. So, all right. Don't say anything.
I won't.
All right.
You have a good week.
So we'll see you tomorrow morning, bright and early. Bye-bye.
Bye.